Today is the feast of St. Pius X, which is a first-class feast for the society. The epistle for the feast of St. Pius X is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Brethren, we have confidence in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God in much carefulness, for our exhortation was not of error, nor of uncleanliness, nor in deceit. But as we were approved by God that the gospel should be committed to us, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who proveth our hearts. For neither have we used at any time the speech of flattery, as you know, nor taken an occasion of covetousness, God is witness, nor sought we glory of men, neither of you nor of others. Whereas we might have been burdensome to you as the apostles of Christ, but we became little ones in the midst of you, as if a nurse should cherish her children. So desirous of you, we would gladly impart unto you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you were become most dear unto us. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 21. At that time Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? He saith to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith to him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? He saith to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, Feed my sheep. Please be seated. Hope has been the sole companion of my life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As we celebrate this feast of St. Pius X today, you know, obviously he is the patron of our society, chosen by the Archbishop, chosen because, obviously, of his attachment to the true faith, especially against the errors of modernism that he foresaw back in the early 1900s. He wrote his famous encyclical, Pascendi, to feed the flock, to feed them with faith and doctrine, in a way that is why it's so important for us then to study our faith, learn our faith. It's a never-ending process for us. We can't look at it as we get out of, say, high school, that we're done. We don't have to study our faith any longer. We need to continue to study the faith that God has given to us. Studying our catechism, I think that's very well used on a Sunday. Whether doing spiritual reading, whether studying a catechism, furthering your knowledge of your faith in order to sanctify the day. In a way, for us, it's not enough for us just to come to Mass and that's it. We owe it to Almighty God to learn our faith, to study our faith, to be able to defend our faith, to be able to try to help other people, not only by our example, but then by being able to explain to them the truths of our faith, why we believe certain things, why we follow certain things. I mean, too often, a lot of times, we may be asked that question, whether at work, whether in the airport, whether with other people, even family. And we can't answer those questions. We can't defend our faith in that way. I can't tell you how many times flying or in the airport or different things I've been asked about the faith. You can see people wanting to know, but then if we can't help them, if we can't guide them, if we don't know our own faith, well, certainly they're not going to follow it. And so that's why it's so important for us then to be fed with the doctrine of our faith. And that is the meaning of Pascendi, is to feed. And so that is what St. Pius X saw very clearly as, obviously, the attack of modernism. It was warping the idea of our faith. It was warping the truths of our faith, watering them down. And so for St. Pius X, he saw that very clearly back then. He wrote this encyclical clearly laying out the errors of modernism itself. And that is why we refer to modernism as the synthesis of all heresies. It brings them all together. But it waters down the faith. Because everything then is based on feelings and emotions. Our faith is based on the truth. We cannot think that, you know, we only go on emotions or how I feel about this. Again, I can't tell you how many times I've had people that they just talk about what they feel inside and that's what they believe. And so if they wake up one day not feeling right, not feeling the same way, well, then they change what they believe. And you try to help people to understand that it's an intellectual thing for us to learn our faith and to understand it. I mean, again, you see, when our Lord referred to St. John the Baptist, he said he is not one that is shaken by the wind. I mean, today's world, the people are shaken by the wind. A lot of times, the last person that talks to somebody convinces them, they go the other way, or they go this way. I mean, it's sad to see. There's a lack of conviction in our modern world, and that is something that St. Pius X, he showed very clearly the conviction we must have to restore all things in Christ. That became his motto of his pontificate. And even in the post-communion of today's Mass, it talks about we may be rendered strong in faith. I think that can sum up very well St. Pius X. To be rendered strong in the faith, and that is what he showed. Even though his pontificate wasn't a long one, because he was so strong in the faith, he was able to accomplish so much. He was able to do so much for the Catholic Church. And so that is why the Archbishop chose him as our patron. Because he realized the struggle that the Church was going in and still is in. And so he wanted this heavenly patron that would be so strong in the faith to help us, to guide us. And so that becomes an obligation for us to learn our faith, to study our faith, to be able to defend our faith, especially against the modern world in today. Because how many things do we see is based solely on emotion, feelings? We cannot live our life like that. It must be based on the truth that is given to us by God. God is truth. And that is why it becomes an obligation for us to study. And I think one of the things that's also we're drawn to St. Pius X, even though he was elevated to the highest ranking in the church, the humility that he had. I've mentioned it in previous sermons. You probably read it in books. But when he was elevated to the pontificate, he did not want it. He actually cried because he saw the responsibilities that were before him. And that is the famous Coraggio, take courage, that Cardinal Mary de Vall had told him. Because he tried to explain to him, he said, this is the will of God that you lead the church. And I sense St. Pius X had the last laugh because then he went to Cardinal Mary de Vall and told him, I want you to be my Secretary of State. He said, no, I can't do that. He said, Coraggio. And so they worked together in defending the church. But I think it's something for us that when you look at the humble beginnings of St. Pius X, but yet he was raised and elevated throughout his life. And why? Because of the humility he had. Because of his desire to serve Almighty God. I mean, to the point that you also see St. Pius X, at times when he was bishop of a diocese, he would go in and see, and the priest wasn't in the confessional yet. He would go in and start hearing confession. Then the priest got a nice surprise when he opened up the door and saw his bishop sitting there hearing confession. It's kind of like, That'd be a little embarrassing for the priest. Probably get up earlier the next time, next Sunday. But for him, he realized it's an obligation. We have to hear confessions. We need to. It doesn't matter if he's the bishop or not. But that humility and wanting to serve God, that is why then he became elevated throughout the church. God chose him then to lead the church at that time, to fight against the modernism that was rampant, you could say, in the church, even in a way. He kept it underground for years because of his pascendi, because of his fight against it, but it reared its ugly head later on. Until we see then, obviously, the fruition of it in 1962 with the Second Vatican Council. But it has started much earlier than that. That's why we can't be naive into thinking that it just appeared one day in 1962 and just came out. He beat it down as much as he could. And then Cardinal Mary Duval continued that later on. But it's something because of that humility. But I would say also then something that is always struck me when we used it a few years back on our Mother Cabrini holy cards that we had when it was the anniversary of St. Pius X, that quote about his hope that he had in Almighty God. And I think, again, we come back to that, and the reason we come back to that is because of the world around us looks so hopeless. Because the world looks so hopeless, well, yes, we realize we only have God to hope in. But at reading it to you, he said, hope has been my sole companion of my life. And so for St. Pius X to say that he just hoped in Almighty God, and that has been his companion throughout his life. What he's relied upon, what he's stuck with. And I think that's important for us then to also to take from that. Because he goes on to say, it's been the greatest aid in doubts, it's been the strongest assistant in my weaknesses. Again, St. Pius X, the humility of him in recognizing my weaknesses that I have, I relied upon hope in God to help me through them. He has a reality of the situation that is around him. Even though he was the vicar of Christ, he still realized he had his own weaknesses, his own faults. And he's a saint of the church, a canonized saint, but yet, yes, he realized some of the weaknesses he had. But he relied upon his hope in God to overcome that. And so that's why he says it was my greatest aid in doubts, my strongest assistant in my weaknesses. Hope. And he says, but not the hope in men. How often, a lot of times, we place our hope in those that are around us. I mean, obviously, for our family, for our friends. Yes, we have hope in them. But ultimately, it is reliant upon Almighty God. That God can work through these friends, our family, whomever. But it comes from Almighty God. And so that's why he says, but not hope in men, but hope in Christ. Supported by the celestial promise that he will strengthen the weakest of men. So this heavenly promise that is given to us that he will even help and assist the weakest of men. And how he will help them with a greatness of soul.